This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Wisconsin's Legislative Black Caucus is celebrating Black History Month in Milwaukee and Madison with events throughout February that address issues facing the Black community.
So far this month, representatives have worked together to put on events focused on economic developments, opportunities, and mental health.
This week, legislators are focusing on education and families, a collaboration between Representatives Lakeisha Myers and Sheila Stubbs.
WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell spoke with Myers about how it feels for this Black History Month programming to be one of her first major projects with the caucus since being sworn in just last month.
It feels really good. It feels really good. I'm happy that we are working together as a cohesive unit. I think this is probably the most members the Legislative Black Caucus has ever had. I'm happy that we have members not only from Milwaukee, but from Madison. I think that helps us as far as looking at things from a holistic perspective, that everything, you know, there are some issues that happen in Madison that often, frankly, are not heard about. So, you know, when you think about Madison, people always go, oh, Madison, liberal Madison. But, you know, some of the same issues can happen in Madison or in Milwaukee that, you know, happen in other parts of the country. So we have, like I said, a lot of work to do.
So this week, you and Representative Stubbs have chosen to focus on education and families. Why did you guys choose those topics?
Well, I chose that topic because education is kind of my signature field. I was an educator for Milwaukee Public Schools for many years and have been in the classroom and about for over 10 years. So that's where my passion lies. So I worked with Representative Stubbs. She deals a lot with families and issues. So we decided to work together and sponsor that week of activities. So I think we covered a good swath of activities for that week that we have going on.
And so your list of events included a viewing of the film, Tell Them We're Rising, a conversation about Black suffrage in Wisconsin, and a couple of panels on education challenges in Wisconsin, and one on the Oshkosh 94. So talk a little bit about the latter, because I've never heard of the Oshkosh 94.
Absolutely. The second panel that we are having is about Wisconsin's Black history with the Oshkosh 94. And I know that many people in Wisconsin are like, the Oshkosh who? You know, the Oshkosh 94, some of the survivors of that will be coming to the Capitol to speak to students and to members as well, to let them know about what happened on Black Thursday back in 1968. This happened in, I believe it was November of 1968. Students that were students at UW-Oshkosh, there were 94 of them, actually took over the chancellor's office. And there were police that were called. It was, you know, an entire situation. These students were hauled off to jails. Some of them were bailed out by Father James Grappi from Milwaukee, as well as others. Lloyd Barbie was also one of their lawyers. And so these are prominent people that we know about in Wisconsin's history, but to have not heard about this instance where these students were lobbying and advocating for Black studies programs. They were advocating to have Black professors on campuses in the UW system. These students were actually suspended from school. Some of them that were suspended from school were unable to re-enroll in any Wisconsin college. Some of them actually went on to graduate from Oshkosh later on. One of them I know for sure actually ended up going to your alma mater, Marquette. But it was something that was, and some of them actually ended up going and finishing school at HBCUs. Mm-hmm. So there's all of this history that is intertwined in the stories of these 94 students. People that have gone on to become prominent folks in our community. You know, it was like, why did I never hear of this story? You know, I heard about this maybe about 2 years ago, and I was like, what? I never knew any of this happened. You know, when you hear about Black history, it usually focuses on the 200 Nights of Freedom in Milwaukee with the open housing marches and with Father Grappi and Vail Phillips. But to think about history that happened outside of the city of Milwaukee, while many of the 94 students were from Milwaukee, you know, this happened in one of the state colleges. The students were charged with, like, in my opinion, exuberant charges of, like, destruction of property. You know, there was, like, criminal negligence. And, like, I mean, if you look at the list of charges, they could have gone to federal prison for a very long time. And thank God that that did not happen to them. And, you know, they were allowed to, for the most part, finish their education. And, you know, but the things that they were lobbying for are things that we see now in the UW system. There are dedicated services towards students of color. There are African-American cultural centers and Black student unions on a multitude of campuses in the UW system. And I think that students, especially those students of color in the UW system, need to know this story because these were the people that made it possible for you to have an existence, number one, and a viable existence in the UW system. And I know in speaking to, you know, some of the administrators from UW-Madison and well as the in UW system as a whole, we have a long way to go.
I think you bring up a good point that there is still Black history that we don't know because it doesn't get as much attention, if at all, compared to what's more popular, like Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech or Rosa Parks refusing to give up her seat on the bus. Why do you think there is still so much we don't know?
When you look at, and this is me as an educator speaking as well, I think we often like to romanticize the civil rights movement, and we like to give it a rosy, you know, finish, if you will. I think when you think about Black History Month, people go, oh, I had a dream. You know, Martin Luther King, he had a dream. Rosa Parks didn't give up her seat. And we think it stops there. When I was in the classroom and teaching, I used to tell my students that the civil rights movement did not start with a bus and it did not end with a king. So I think that, you know, for having people to have an entire compass of what the civil rights movement looks like, mm-hmm. the different iterations of the civil rights movement, and understanding that there are things that we still have to deal with today.
So what's the importance of having this type of programming in 2019? I mean, all the issues the representatives are choosing to focus on have always been important and will likely continue to be important, but what is it about now that makes them matter even more?
I do think that given the current climate of, you see a resurgence of, you know, the far extreme right wing radicalization, the Confederate flag, you know, flying in certain places. For instance, in Toma, Wisconsin, the school board there just outlawed the Confederate flag. Basically, they banned it in that particular school district because they had seen a resurgence in that community where there's a lot of Native Americans and other people of color. You know, this was used as a tactic to try to silence students of color in that school district. Why else would you fly the rebel battle flag? Like, you know, it's crazy to me. So you're starting to see incidences of things that we thought we were done with, frankly, you know, where you see this, like, far extreme neo-Nazism, you know, situations in different parts. The Charlottesville, you know, situation. You're starting to see things like this spur again. And I think it's giving people that were silenced or were kind of demurred for a while, you're starting to see them say, oh, no, I can be bold. So I think this is why we have to highlight these programs and make sure that we are being vocal about diversity and inclusion, making sure that we have people that have a seat at the table, making sure that, you know, people of color in the state are represented. I think we have to understand that if we want to get better and move forward, we have to embrace all.
And finally, how do we move forward with continuing to educate people about issues affecting the Black community or communities of color as a whole, making sure that the conversations don't stop once February, once Black History Month is over?
I think I can speak for all the members of the Legislative Black Caucus that we are unapologetically Black and that we are looking out for the interests of people of color, especially those of African Americans, every day. We are the people that are thinking, how does this impact our communities on a daily basis when we are, you know, in committee hearings and when we're looking at how different aspects of state law will affect the community. I know those are some of the questions that I'm asking. You know, how does this impact not only my district, but how does it impact African Americans that may live in this community? How does it impact people of color in general? So I know that as a group, we are being, you know, kind of the vanguards for that in asking those questions. So I know, you know, that's something that we are consistently looking at and asking those questions in each of our, you know, our way.
Lakeisha Myers represents the 12th District in the Wisconsin State Assembly. She spoke with WUWM race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell.